And it's kind of amazing what happens when we become self-aware and present instead of running away from our needs.
Welcome to the Real Life Parents, Real Life Answers podcast with Sean and Jasmine Turner, and sponsored by ParentEQ.com.
Hello, welcome to another episode of Real Life Parents, Real Life Answers. I'm Jasmine. I am one of the hosts of this show. You will hear my husband is Sean on the other episodes where we interview real life parents. Those are fun. But this week you get me, and I'm really excited to be here. Before I dive into the topic, I just thought I would take a quick second and remind you that you can find us on social media. I take the time to get posts up there for you, just things that inspire me, maybe things to give you little reminders throughout the week, and also maybe give you some sneak peeks about things that we have coming. We have some fun things in the works. We're planning on doing some Instagram and Facebook Lives, right? You can do a little question and answer session with us. Those are going to be fun, and you will only know if you follow us on social media. Well, I might try to let you know in an episode, but you can find out right away on social media. As soon as I decide to do one, I will get that scheduled and I'll let you know when it's going to be. So our handle on Instagram is Real Life Parents Podcast. Same on Facebook. We're also on Twitter if you happen to be a Twitter person. Yeah, so you can give us a follow there. Another great resource for you is to go onto our Parent EQ website. What you will find on that is a link to schedule a one-on-one coach. It will actually be like a one-on-two or a two-on-two if you and your partner want to do a coaching session with Sean and me. That would be two-on-two, but you can schedule coaching sessions there. We can give you ideas. We can brainstorm. We can give you support. You can also sign up for our monthly freebies on that site, and we're really excited because coming soon, we will have a Parent EQ master course, which is going to be all about tips and ideas on how to parent with emotional intelligence. So be on the lookout for that. If you do sign up for the monthly freebies, you'll be on our mailing list and we can let you know of all of the upcoming events. So let's get right into the topic. Today, I'm going to share with you a little method that I started using with one of my children. And as is normal, we often tend to get very creative with the difficult children or the difficult stages, because I really do feel like every child has a difficult stage. And so the story goes like this. I have a bunch of kids, as you know, they range in age from 21 all the way down to 5. So at this point, I've experienced 7 different 5-year-olds. And you would think that by now I've got it figured out, but I'll tell you what, I don't. And the funny thing that happened is I have right now a 7-year-old, one of my twins, and he is learning how to regulate his emotions. That's how Sean would put it. And that's kind of how we talk about it when we talk about emotional intelligence. That's one of the big ideas behind it, is helping kids learn how to regulate their emotions. And that's where this child is right now. I don't know if you have, I guess you could call them an extremely emotional child, one that wears their heart on their sleeve, or that is very vocal, because I think all kids experience emotions. I just think they express them in different ways, but they're very vocal about how they feel. If you have a child like that, I totally relate. I've had more than one, and the ages are different, but the funny thing again that happened was that I have this child, and he's just barely entering this stage where life is horrible and things are always problems, and it's a lot of weeping. One day, a few days ago, we were driving home in the car, and I think I didn't give him the phone to play on. I can't remember why, but he cried the entire way home. And so I had to get out my Parent EQ skills, right? I'm like, for heaven's sakes, I'm in a podcast about regulating emotions. I gotta be on the top of my game. So I did practice some things. I'll tell you what I did, just so you know. He was crying, and at that point I knew I couldn't stop the car. And I knew that he wasn't going to just like immediately be consoled, because I felt like he just had to have a good cry and get that stuff out. So I'm not, you know, as you guys know, we don't push, you know, telling kids, stop crying, man up, stop crying. That's not our method. We like to help kids understand that emotions are okay. Sometimes they're big, and sometimes we just have to experience them. And so this one, I just decided I would validate him and I would just see him, because sometimes, especially when you have a lot of siblings like our kids, sometimes they just want to be seen and they want to be heard. So at that point, I was driving in the front seat and he was in the back. There wasn't a lot I could do. I couldn't physically hold him or cuddle with him, but I could with my words. So I just kept telling him, "Abe, I can see that you're sad. Abe, I can tell that you're sad." I just gave away which kid it was, but that's fine. He's 7. Hopefully when he's older, he won't hold it against me that I told this story. I just kept recognizing that he was sad. And I didn't say, "Stop being sad," or "You shouldn't be sad." I just said, "I can see that you're sad." That's just a little story and a little tip for you. That's actually not why I'm totally bringing up this child. Another reason I'm bringing up this child is because right now he is the sandpaper that is refining my parenting. That's how I like to put it. He is doing this frequently as far as expressing his emotions, right? Frequently in a sad way. And he's having a hard time figuring out what to do. So he's in the motion, and I'm fine with them not doing anything. You can just say, "Well, you don't have to do something right now. You can just experience that emotion." But there are times where it's taking a large part of the day up, and I'm like, let's get some tools in his tool belt so he knows what to do. And I have taught him, I've taught all my kids like some meditation and some ways to ground and be mindful. And we've tried those. Some breathing techniques are always really, really good. You can look those up. I hope to have some upcoming episodes all about that, really specifically about that. But it occurred to me, just as a parent, I believe, this is just my belief, that parents have intuition. And I think that if we sit and ground our own selves and we become mindful and present when our child is having a meltdown, we can tune in to what they're really saying when they're crying, because it could be like 20 different reasons why they're crying, why they're struggling to regulate that emotion. There could be a lot. There could be a lot hidden behind that. So we all know that that's just a symptom of a bigger problem. Knowing his personality, because that's one of the biggest things we do here at Real Life Parents, we try to help you understand our model, which is understand yourself and understand your child, and then you'll understand the issue. So understanding myself, I started by realizing that I was kind of pushing it under the rug. I wasn't really giving him time and attention, and I wasn't tuning into my intuition or my toolkit that I've developed over 20 some odd years that I'm like, I should tap into that. Sometimes we know what to do. We just choose not to think about it for too long, or we're too exhausted. I feel like most parents deep down know more or less what to do. I mean, we also have access to lots of knowledge on the internet, podcasts, and lots of other things. But like I said, I've got lots of experience. So my mind went back to a day about, well, not a day, but a period of time when one of my other older children, so this was about, I want to say it was like 7 years ago, when one of my other children was doing a very similar thing. And I had kind of forgotten about it. Like, you guys have that selective amnesia, right? Like when you go through traumatic times. I mean, this wasn't that traumatic, but like I was overwhelmed. There's times in my life I was really overwhelmed. And I don't know if you guys can relate, but there are times that I just don't remember. It's a blank. But I guess if I really think about it, I can grasp things from that time. So I remembered coming up with this little tactic or method. I don't even know what you would call it. I thought it was ingenious at the time. I think I got it from like teaching preschool, or somebody had reminded me of it. It was different than what they had done, but it was the same idea. So I don't know if you've ever heard of Take Five. I mean, I'm definitely not the first person to even come close to inventing this. Basically, you hold up your hand. And I know in the classroom, teachers use it a lot, but you hold up your hand and it's a visual reminder. And it's also kinesthetic, because the child is putting up their hand to remind them of those things. You take five, and then you go through, it's basically five sort of ideas that you remind yourself of, right? Are you doing this? Are you doing that? And this and that. For this particular child 7 years ago, I thought, I'm going to use that because I needed to give him something practical to help him regulate his emotions. It wasn't coming natural to him. And again, that's something we need to remember. Like, they're sometimes just not wired that way, especially personality-wise. Understanding your child's personality is important because some of them, they all have strengths and weaknesses. That's kind of what I'm meaning to say. Some of them do better at emotional regulation. That doesn't mean they're better kids. It just means they're better at that particular thing. And then some of them are better, you know, with other things. Back to the take five. So what I did was I took the hand, and each finger on the hand represented something. I would have him hold up his hand, and I said, okay, you're going to hold up your hand, and you're going to remember take five. And before you do take five, before you go through these things, I want you to take a big, deep breath, okay? And so really, I just wanted him to do a little grounding exercise. I remember saying to him, and you can say a prayer if you want to, or you can just meditate for a second, or just calm down, take a breath, okay? Any of those things are going to be really good for grounding your child. And then I said, you're going to ask yourself these questions. So this is the self-awareness piece of incorporating emotional intelligence into raising your child, I guess you could say. So the self-awareness piece of it was this. A lot of times with kids, there are, I guess I kind of pinned it down to five main reasons why they may be lashing out or they may be having a hard time with their emotions. These are the five things that I came up with. Number one was, are you hungry? And you guys are going to laugh at that, but I'm not kidding you because it's really hard to go to the deeper feely stuff when they're physically just starving or they need to feed their body. Usually it would be like, are you hungry or thirsty is kind of what I would ask them. I have a lot of kids, as you know, again, I'm reminding you. And sometimes, like if a kid's like, I don't want to eat right now or whatever it is, sometimes they'll just run around and your kids might be the same, even if you only have, you know, if you have less kids than I do, it doesn't matter. We get busy, our kids get busy, we forget to eat. I model that for him. Sean's talked about modeling. I model that. I sometimes forget to eat, and I'm sure all of you moms do too, and dads. I'd ask him, okay, are you hungry or thirsty? So he would have to think, ooh, when was the last time I ate? Am I hungry? Do I just need to go in the kitchen and I'll get my blood sugar up and I'll be fine? And then the second thing that I asked him is, are you tired? A kid being tired at that moment in time was kind of hard because it's like, well, if I'm tired, you know, you're not going to go sleep, but you might just need to decompress. So they just need to be aware. Is it 9:30 and it's my bedtime? Am I having a meltdown because I'm just exhausted? You guys all know this. Kids, they're still learning how to realize how to listen to their body. This is part of that self-awareness, trying to listen to their body. That's a big one. I mean, this whole thing is about training kids to listen to their mind and to their body, and I'll show you that. In fact, that's the title of this episode that came up in my mind is teaching kids how to listen to their mind and to their body. It was kind of just a way to portray what this take five was. So moving on here, we've got number three. The third one for me to incorporate with him in particular, you might change this according to your child, but this works well for me, especially for boys, was, do you need to go outside? We get really trapped inside, especially with electronics these days. Kids get sort of stuck on one thing and they're inside and they don't realize they need to just get fresh air, but it's good to remind them to. So I was like, okay, you need to go outside for a second? Like, let's go on a little walk or whatever. I mean, when they're little, you can take them. But this works for older kids, guys. This works for older kids too. Older kids need to be self-aware. They need to know this too. So you might just send them to go get the mail, take something back to a neighbor, whatever it is. Just go outside, any excuse you can. And I've found, this is just my experience, I've found it doesn't have to be a long time. Doesn't have to be an hour outside. It can just go jump on the trampoline 10 times or go take the garbage out. Anything to just snap him out of it. It's really interesting how that works. So that's number three. Number four is where we get into more of, are you listening to your mind, not just your body? Because it is physical, but it's also emotional. The number four was, I basically put it this way because he was like five, but like, do you need a hug? Okay, do you need to spend time with mom? You know, you could say, do you need a cuddle? Do you need a hug? Do you need to talk? If it's a teenager, to be like, do you need to just like have some one-on-one time? Let's talk. Okay, so that was that one. Do you need to be around somebody? Do you need even physical touch? You'll know, again, step two of our little model is to know your child. If their love language is physical touch, then they may be starving from that, and that's why they're emotional. So you got to, this is where it's really important. There are, by the way, I'll put it in the show notes, but there's a really great love languages for kids books out there. I don't know if you guys have seen them, but there's like a storybook that you can actually tell kids, explain it to them. But for the older ones, I think there's one for teenagers. I'll have to look that up and put it in the show notes too. Either way, just the love languages are really, really helpful, just knowing that, because a lot of times that's what triggers our kids to have these emotional outbreaks, is their love languages aren't, we're not speaking them. And it's a job. It's a job as parents to try to speak all the different love languages of all the different kids. I get it. Like I 100%, I don't know how many times I've said, like, I'm in the trenches with you. Every single one of them throws me for a loop, because obviously they're going to have more than one love language. And then at different times of the day, they're going to need different things. And I really do feel like at every moment in time, you might need a little bit of one of them, even if it's not your main love language. So I should do like a whole episode on that. I've loved learning about those. Those are probably my first personality tests that really made a difference in our family, was learning the love languages. All right, so we're finally down to the fifth one. And the fifth one is, do you need to be alone? I know that sounds really weird, but honestly, do you know why it came up? Because we have a loud, loud house. We do. Our kids, I feel, are very socialized with their siblings, right? They're always playing. They always have somebody to play with. There's always something going on. And I feel really strongly that there are times where they just need a little alone time. Now, you might think, well, that's bad because, you know, you just said they need a hug or they need connection. They do need that too. But you're asking them. They'll tell you, do you need a hug and then you need some alone time? Maybe it'll be 4 and 5. Sometimes it'll be 1, 3, and 5. But as far as the alone time goes, when they're little, they kind of have to be shown what that looks like. And that's why I model for them and I set a boundary sometimes. Mommy is taking a little bit of alone time, instead of saying, mommy's going to have a breakdown if she doesn't go in her room and shut the door. I have to reframe it in the verbiage because I don't want them to think I'm about to lose it, but sometimes I am. So I've reframed it for myself to remove the shame. Okay, no shame in that. If you guys don't know how to set boundaries and you let your kids run in the bathroom, you know, I'm not saying you let them. Sometimes it's a safety deal, but you sometimes need to get in the bathroom by yourself. You don't need people invading you in there. That's important for you too. So the being alone, okay? You gotta walk the walk if you're gonna talk the talk. If you're gonna tell your kids that they need to set boundaries and take alone time, you do too. So for the kids, you can make a little tent for them. You can, if they're a teenager, let them take the car for a drive. I had one of my kids who loved going on drives, and I think it really helped him. He would just play the music really loud and go on a drive. He shared a room. If your kids share rooms, put them in your room. Give them some coloring pages and some coloring books, or light a candle if they're older. Maybe they need to take a bubble bath, whatever it is. Give them that time alone and teach them that it's good. We live in a society where maybe especially in like a family dynamic situation where we sometimes look down on being alone, but being alone can be very precious time. So again, just modeling it and explaining to them why having a little bit of, you could call it me time, right? You could reframe it however, you don't have to say alone because that could be negative, but however you use your intuition, however you think your child needs to hear that. You could call it a little bit of time to be mindful or meditate or any of those things. Time for you, right? You're giving time to yourself. It's all good, because here's the deal. You all did not form your beliefs and your core values just from age of 25 on. You formed them when you were a child. So that's where you kind of see how you were trained to look at self-care. And maybe you weren't trained to see it was a good thing. Some people grow up in a home where the mom is a martyr. And you think that you have to be one too. And the funny thing is, I did not grow up. My mom wasn't a martyr, technically. I don't feel like she was. I don't feel like she put that out as far as energy-wise. But I somehow, I don't know if it was genetically or conditioned, culturally, I don't know what it was. But I felt like I had to be a martyr for a lot of years. You can ask Sean about this one. I felt like I had to be a martyr for a lot of years. And when you do that, you get exhausted. So this number five, it's important to teach your kids now that they need to invest in themselves, that they need to find happiness in spending time with themselves, right? And getting to know themselves. So that was the fifth one, and that there you have it, all five of them. I'll go over them one more time just so you can remember what they are. So hopefully you can just memorize it. We have amazing brains, right? Parents do. They can memorize things really quickly. So number one is, are you hungry or thirsty? Number two is, are you tired? Number three is, do you need to go outside? Number four, do you need a hug? Do you need like a physical touch or connection? And number five, do you need some alone time? So there you have it. Now, before I end here, I just want to conclude with a little invitation to you. Before you try this on your kids, I want you to see if you can use it on yourself. So the next time you feel like you're going to lash out, or you kind of feel like you're on an emotional roller coaster, I want you to just take a moment and visualize the five fingers, or look at your hand, or maybe it'll remind you, and go through those and see if that's one of your issues, or more than one of your issues, maybe a couple of them. Like I said, it can be more than one. And then just pay attention to your intuition to see if it is one of those things. And it's kind of amazing what happens when we become self-aware and present instead of running away from our needs. Okay? I'm going to say that again. We need to become present and listen to our mind and body instead of running away from our needs. Give yourself permission to fill your needs. It's super important as a parent. If you can't fill your needs, you're not going to be able to fill your child's needs. And it sounds weird, but if you model this and you catch yourself and you even verbally say it, maybe you don't even teach it to them. Maybe you say, mommy's getting mad, you know, mommy or daddy's, And then you say kind of out loud, oh, I'm feeling frustrated. Okay, I need to do take five. Hang on. Am I hungry or thirsty? Now, again, you're not telling this to your child. You're just talking to yourself, quote unquote. Just see what happens. If you do that before you teach your child, especially some of those kids that you're like, they will never go for this. Just see what happens. Because when they see the difference that it makes when you do it, imagine what's going to happen when you try to encourage them or invite them to do it. They may even want to do it without you telling them to do it. So that's kind of the goal, right? Modeling again. There's an episode about modeling. If you haven't listened to it yet, please check it out. I really, really appreciate you taking the time to listen to the podcast today. We're just so thrilled to be able to spend this time with you each week. Again, make sure to follow us on Instagram or Facebook, even Twitter. The links are in the show notes if you want to find us. That's how you can. Feel free to DM us if you have questions. And also, we're always looking for guests for the podcast. So if you would like to be a guest, or even if you have topics that you'd like us to cover, you can DM us or email us at reallifeparentspodcast@gmail.com. Until then, here's to authentic and intentional parenting. Take care. Last but not least, the advice provided on this podcast does not constitute or serve as a substitute for professional psychological treatment, therapy, or other types of professional advice or intervention. If you have concerns about your child's well-being, consult a physician or mental health professional.